Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, for the last couple of broadcasts, we have been looking at what it was that made the Apostle Paul grateful, what filled his heart with gratitude and thanks. And it would be interesting to compare our own expressions and feelings of gratitude and see if they arise for the same reasons that Paul's did. Now, we saw in the broadcast in the last 2 days that Paul was thankful for divine enablement, what God enabled him to do. He says in 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me." And he said in verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Divine enablement, divine grace, exceedingly abundant. And those two concepts, grace and enablement, grace and divine power, are essentially the same thing. And Paul was exceedingly grateful for that. But we move on to a second area of gratitude, and that was for opportunity. Paul was grateful for the opportunity that God gave him to serve the Lord. Continue reading in verse 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Now, when you examine the history of Paul in the book of Acts and find out what that ministry meant for him, you will find out that it meant exceeding difficulty, trials, toils, labors, spending of himself, and eventually execution for the cause of Christ, that most of us would not welcome. And I don't know that Paul himself would welcome all of these details in and by themselves, but he did welcome them because they were attached to an opportunity to serve the Lord in a very fruitful way. But as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, it was part of God's plan that Paul's great power, his unusual spiritual power in ministry, only come because of his unusual trials and infirmities. They were married together. In the plan of God, there was not going to be the one without the other. We would like to have the power without the infirmities. But Paul experienced both as a necessary arrangement, a necessary connection between the two. But he was given opportunity to serve the Lord. God, he says, appointed me, putting me into the ministry. He appointed me. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he," Christ, "counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Appointing me to his service. Putting me into the ministry. When did that happen? That happened on the Damascus Road. The very day that Saul was saved was also the day when Paul was called to be an apostle, was commissioned to serve the Lord. In fact, when God, or Christ, same thing, you understand, but when Christ spoke to Ananias, the man and the Christian in Damascus that Saul was going to go to receive his sight and to get some direction for his new Christian life, when Christ spoke to Ananias about Saul coming to him, and Ananias was objecting a bit, and Christ said, "I'm going to show him what great sufferings he's going to have for my sake." Well, that's quite an appointment. What if you knew that God had appointed you to serve Him through sufferings. If you're a Christian, you would quickly say, I would be delighted if God has appointed me for service, appointed me to accomplish something significant for the kingdom of God. That would be my greatest delight, to think that that's what God was going to do with my life. But what if God said, I'm going to do that through sufferings? Then what would your response be? Well, Paul is writing this epistle to Timothy far enough into his apostolic sojourn to know exactly what that appointment meant. He'd already experienced a great many of the sufferings. He still had some to go. We think he's writing this epistle between his two Roman imprisonments. He's free at the moment, but he's been in jail a lot already for more than 4 years at different times in his life. But you put them together, it's more than 4 years. Some of them were rather brief stays, such as in Philippi. He spent just one night in the jail there after having been beaten and lashed and put in stocks. I mean, all kinds of suffering. But he thanks God for this opportunity to serve God. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And Paul is thanking God for the opportunity of serving Him, for an appointment to service. In Paul's case, an appointment to a particular office, the apostolic office, a very unique opportunity afforded to only a very small handful of individuals, most of whom were the earthly disciples of Christ, but Paul was an apostle born out of due season. But nevertheless, Paul was grateful for the opportunity to serve the Lord. And that's what opportunity he was grateful for. Not the opportunity to make money and become very wealthy, not the opportunity to be a great political leader and to influence society in that way, but he was thankful for the opportunity of serving Christ, being put into the ministry. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What is the ministry? Well, here the word is diakonia. That's where we get our word deacon. It means servant. The ministry is service. The different areas of ministry, different offices, different appointments, to be sure. But the ministry is an area of service, just like the diaconate is an area of service. To be a deacon is to be appointed to one office. To be an apostle is to be appointed to another office. To be an evangelist or a missionary is to be appointed to another office. To be a pastor teacher is to be appointed to another office. But all of these can be characterized as areas of ministry, that is, of service. They are different branches of activity and of responsibility, but nevertheless, they are all areas of service for Christ. What is a minister? When we use the word minister in the religious realm, we're generally thinking in terms of a pastor or of an ordained minister. It might be of a denominational officer, somebody who perhaps used to pastor and has been promoted to an office in denomination. Some would consider that a promotion, some perhaps would not. I like the thinking of Charles Spurgeon and many others who considered pastoring and the regular preaching of the Word of God to a congregation as the most important job in all the world, more important than the President of the United States, more important than the King of a vast domain. To be a preacher of God's Word, to be a pastor of one of God's congregations, is the highest office that can be given to a person. Well, I tend to think the Apostle Paul looked at it that way too, don't you? I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I remember riding on an airplane many years ago, I forget, I was traveling to Africa, I'm quite sure of that, to visit with missionaries and to minister there. And I was riding on a plane, and my seatmate asked me what I did, and I said I was a minister. He was a foreigner, and I didn't realize, I've learned since then, in fact, because of this very occasion, I've learned that's not a good way to answer that question out of the American context. In America, if you say I'm a minister, nearly everybody immediately thinks of a preacher, a pastor, a minister. I could have said I'm a pastor, but I said I'm a minister. Well, he took that to be a branch of a political service, minister of agriculture, minister of foreign affairs, or something like that. He asked a follow-up question to find out exactly what branch of government I was involved with, and then I had to correct the misunderstanding. But ministry, service, that's really what it is. Diakonia, service. And dear friend, you need to realize, and I'm sure you do if you're a child of God, that every one of God's children is called to an area of service. We are not all called to the same office. All are not called to be pastors. All are not called to be deacons. All are certainly not called to be apostles. They passed from the scene back in the first century. I'm confident of that. Ephesians chapter 2, I think, makes that very clear. Some are called to pastor, some are called to evangelize, to be missionaries. Some are called in other areas of service. But everybody is called to serve. Every member of the body of Christ has been given gifts with which to serve the Lord and with which to serve the body of Christ, meaning with which to serve one another within the body of Christ. And we are all Christ's servants, and we have all been given different spheres or areas of service. But the fact is, the sad fact is, that some of God's people don't seem to have realized that and don't seem to know what their area of service is, don't seem to have understood their assignment and have taken their assignment and made any strength of commitment to an assignment, and presumably, therefore, have missed out on a lot, including this sense of gratitude for this wonderful opportunity, this wonderful appointment of God to give me the opportunity to serve Christ while I'm upon the earth. That's what made Paul grateful. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What is your area of service? What is your appointed branch of activity within the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, I do this, but it requires a little too much sacrifice, a little too much commitment, a little too much labor. I'd be happy to do it if it were a little easier. Oh, wow. Can you imagine Paul saying that? Paul embraced the sacrifice, embraced the labor, embraced the difficulties because of the honor, a wonderful privilege, an opportunity to serve Christ. No greater blessing in all the world, apart from salvation, the opportunity to serve Christ. How grateful I am that Christ appointed me to the ministry. And we better get the mindset that serving Christ is supposed to involve sacrifice and hardness and difficulty. In fact, if it doesn't, it's really not going to be of much value. But when it involves these things and we gladly do it for the sake of Christ, then it becomes eternally valuable. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.